Newsbeat.
Mark and quite literally lard.
Radio 1.
Right, that's Daniel Bedingfield. I'm going to get through this. And before that, it was Gay Bar, Electric Six. It's 5 past.
One.
Right, now then, some of the same kind of show and a lot of the different kind of show today. We will still be doing Tug of Peace, but you can't ring in for it because you had your chance yesterday and you missed it because we've already got the contestants, right? And there may be a bit of Craig and David later on. We'll see how things go. Mm. Apart from that, it is a Led Zepp special today because I'm just going to try and throw a bit of tension in here, Jim. So you pretend you're not here yet, all right?
Yeah. Doing good job at it. Yeah.
We're hoping that Jimmy Page from Led Zeppelin will be arriving to talk about the...
Hang on, I'm hearing now he's in reception.
Is he?
No, he's not, no, false alarm. Oh, all we'll right. have to wait and see.
We're over. But there's a new Led Zepp live DVDs, which everybody's been waiting for years, and a new live album, How the West Was Won, sounding like Zepp should sound as a live album, which people have been waiting for years. So it's Led Zepp business today. If you don't like Led Zepp, then you may as well turn off now.
Or get a life.
No one turned off.
No one turned off.
Because everybody likes Led Zepp,
exactly.
So that's the way. If there's any questions that you want to ask along the way, then the email there is up and running, and you can get in touch with us at mark.radcliffe@bbc.co.uk. Apart from that, it's just us, a couple of contestants on the quiz, and Jimmy Page, right?
Well, hopefully.
Okay, so we'll start that after B2K.
Wow! I need a girlfriend. I need a girlfriend. I need a girlfriend.
B2K and girlfriend, it's 10 past
one
on Radio 1, and welcome, Jimmy Page.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, finally here. I ran all the way up the motorway. Here I am.
Exhausted.
Yeah.
Excellent. Listen, great to see you. But ironically, I put out the studio autograph book for you, right, and the last person to write in it was?
Robert Plant.
Robert Plant, you see. There's no escape from each other.
We're doing Led Zeppelin one by one as much as we can.
Yeah. All right, so, you know, great. We had a Zepp Fest last night, me and Lars. Around his house watching these DVDs, which are just fantastic. Been waiting for this for ages. I mean, when did you start trying to get it all together? Because the bits of film must have come from here, there and everywhere, haven't they?
Yeah, well, about 4 years... Let's see. Four times we filmed the band, OK? And that was Royal Albert Hall.
1970, that was.
Yeah, 1970. 1975, Earl's Court.
Yeah.
In New York in 1973, but that came out as Song Remains the Same, and then 79 at Nebworth.
Right.
And
that's it, is it?
That's all that there was.
Yeah.
The 73 material came out as Song Remains the Same, and all there was is a sort of visual document, really, of
right.
Led Zeppelin for 11-year career. And basically, what I'm saying, four occasions that the band was sort of filmed, on two occasions on purpose, which was the Royal Albert Hall and Madison Square Garden. But all the canisters had gone through different hands and weren't in our ownership of the Royal Albert Hall, and the group bought them back.
Right.
We had to buy them back, and then the project, really, that was the catalyst of getting the thing moving, because it was suggested that we put out the a DVD of just that alone, the Royal Albert Hall. But when I went in to get the audio tapes and saw all these other canisters and other audio tapes and that spanning all these other venues, and I thought, no, it needs a bigger picture here.
Yeah, right.
Rather than put something out that was before, you know, Song Remains the Same, and that was it. So that was it. It was born then.
Is it right you bought a lot of stuff back from sort of bootleggers and pirates and snipped it in with bits that were missing?
No, it wasn't so much that we bought stuff back from the bootleggers, but because we had such limited footage anyway, when it came down to, Nebworth, for example, where we had multiple cameras there, because it was supplying the video screens above, we put out a call to various, well, we'll say people who'd filmed on the night. It came out actually along the way through bootleg sources, but you know, we put the message out. If anyone had anything that related to any of these concerts, then you know, would they get in touch?
It's ironic because Peter Grant would have had them thrown out at the time, wouldn't he?
For at the very least.
quite possibly, and maybe that's why there's such little, you know, that there is about. But it's great, you know, when it comes into like the Nebworth stuff and Madison Square Garden and that. When you see this sort of the fans' perspective, it opens up this other dimension. It really all makes it
fantastic.
Well. It's great.
It's great. I mean, yeah, you talk about the start of it at Royal Albert Hall, 1970, and we watched a lot of that. Two things were immediately striking. One, looking back on it, did you regret that tank top, the jumper?
Well, the one thing about it is that when I look at it, I think, well, yeah, it isn't going to make fashion TV, is it, really? Lots of the outfits.
Because I remember that.
I did get better as I went on.
Well,
but I can tell you another thing. I obviously wasn't taking the filming too seriously, was I?
No, to be honest. Indeed so. I mean, yeah, the costume. We'll come back to the later costume. But the other thing about 1970, it was all there, wasn't it? I mean, the band was only a year old, but the sound and the power of the band, it was all there right from the beginning. I mean, was it there from the very beginning when you first stood in a room together?
I'll tell you what, it was right there from the very first rehearsal.
Yeah.
Because it took quite a bit to get the four of us into the same room. Because John Bonham had been working with Tim Rose, and he was sort of... he was quite, you know, happy sort of earning a wage with Tim Rose.
He was on 40 quid a week, wasn't he?
He was, actually.
He was quite happy, yeah.
He was, but, I mean, it was security. And Robert had said to him, you know... Well, I'd actually seen him with Tim Rose, and I don't know whether he wasn't keen to come in another band with Robert or whether he didn't trust me and the Yardbirds or what it was. But he eventually came down, and we were all in this room in Soho in London. Very small. It was no bigger than this studio, actually, if as big. And we played this one number. I'm not even sure whether everybody really knew it, but I'd nominated Train Kept a Rolling, And at the end of it, there was like this stunned silence because there was such an amazing energy. I think what it was really that each of us had never played with four sort of equal, you know, musical entities. Do you see what I mean? Our musical equals. And all of a sudden there was this bond, and it was like, it was scary.
You said when they're all on song, you're like having a fifth member of the band.
Well, it went into a fifth element. Yeah. You know, the four elements put together just went into this uncharted element, which people say is like the magic of Led Zeppelin, which is fair enough by me, you know.
Yeah.
But it was there right from the beginning, and it was there right to the end. It was fantastic.
Yeah, all right. I mean, Robert Plant has talked about in the past of feeling a bit in awe because you were an established session guitarist. Lard and Chris have been beavering away this morning with a montage of some pre-Led Zeppelin Jimmy Page moments, if you want to have a listen to this.
I was on a lot of stuff with Lulu.
But not that one.
Stuff I was on with Lulu.
You were on the rest
of
those.
She's a great singer, though.
She's a great singer.
Yeah.
Did you play... Andy B from Runcorn on the Costa Mersey's been on. He says, can you put to bed forever the myth about if you played on the Who's Can't Explain? And if you did, why didn't Townsend do it?
No, I was on Can't Explain, but I was there just doing the rhythm part. I mean, it was like I don't really know why I was even on it, but I was booked there. I didn't know who the band was or anything. I was just booked to do a session.
It's a great thought.
There I was. I went in there and it was fantastic. I mean, Townsend's playing that electric Chelsea, and there's Moon and Entwistle, and it was just all happening. I was just playing the rhythm. But Townsend didn't mind. It was. I think I might have managed to squeeze a few phrases in on the B-side.
Well, I interviewed Pete Townsend for a program we did about Rickenbacker guitars, and it came back to me because he said, you know, he developed his style of guitar playing, really, because his quote was, he says, if John Entwistle wasn't the lead guitarist in The Who, Keith Moon was. It certainly wasn't me. And it just occurred to me about Led Zeppelin. I mean, there were almost four lead guitarists in that group. I mean, everybody was like, you know.
Yeah, well, just like you're saying there, there's all this counterpoint going on, you know, which is exactly the same as Zeppelin too.
It strikes me we haven't heard any Led Zeppelin yet, and people will be dying to hear some.
So I did play on that, by the way, just in case.
Right, okay. We thought we'd have the Immigrant Song, which appears on the live album, How the West Was Won. We should explain that broadly, How the West Was Won is different concerts to the DVD, isn't it?
Yes, it is indeed. Yeah, however, there is one track on the DVD, because we had 1970 and 1973 filmed, it missed out a hell of a long time and a lot of album releases. So because this came out as I was loading all the live stuff, I put Immigrant Song on with some mashed footage from 1972 in Sydney. But this is the opening track of, this is the first going on stage. First number,
and it does work.
See how intense it was.
But even though the footage doesn't exactly matter,
it's great.
It's a great atmosphere, and it looks brilliant. So really, CD and DVD, you really need both, don't you? You really need both. But just to experience the awesome power that bands ever since have talked about, and my God, you couldn't half feel it from this when you put it on, and even, you know, you don't need the pictures when you heard it. When you put the DVD on as well, that just put an extra kind of sheen on it.
It's awesome.
Oh, awesome! Yeah. So this is Led Zeppelin from when was it? Is this Long Beach Arena, was this?
Yeah, 1972.
Long Beach Arena with the Immigrant Song. And this is as good a rock and roll band as you will ever hear. Not bad, eh?
That's
the computer. There was some applause after that.
That's the way to start a scene.
We'll put that in. Led Zeppelin, Jimmy Page is with us today. I mean, it sounds fantastic, especially when you think 1972. I mean, concerts and gear was so unsophisticated compared to what bands are at the disposal now, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really was, yeah.
I mean, did you have a big crew? I mean, was there loads of you? Or was it just like you and a couple of roadies in the back of a van, even though you were playing big arenas?
No, by then I think we'd all got our own roadies. We had a sound guy and that. But, it was quite minimal compared to everything there, yeah.
But then, I have heard that you quite like that. I was reading an interview with you where you were talking about Toe Rag Studios, which is where the White Stripes did their recent album, which is very primitive gear. And so, I mean, you'd sort of...
Yeah, well, it's all analog and valves, isn't it, yeah.
And you're kind of attracted to that, really, aren't you?
Well, yeah, I mean, I served my apprenticeship on hot valves.
Yeah, because...
But no, that's right. That's the way it was, yeah.
Because I just thought we'd play 30 seconds of the White Stripes from the new album, There's No Home For You Here, which I think is quite interesting that you're talking about Toe Rag, where they recorded, because everybody who's heard this says, blimey, it's an interesting album, and sometimes they even sound like Led Zepp, particularly on this track, I think. I mean, anybody can hear shades of Led Zeppelin there.
Guilty as charged.
So, influence of Led Zeppelin right through to the present day.
But it's great, isn't it? I mean, it's the spirit of what it's all about, really.
Fantastic.
Not just Led Zeppelin, but the spirit of what rock's all about. What
but you started it.
No.
What you started, and Lard had this right the other day. It was his point. In fact, I should let you make it, really.
Well, it was just, we were discussing sort of Led Zeppelin's role, and everybody always does that cliche about McCartney having got to all the best pop songs first, because he was in the first real kind of pop band as such, and he got all the melodies. And you did the same thing with rock, didn't you? Because you got all the blues riffs, these fantastic riffs, you put the power behind it, and you invented the great rock and roll that everybody has followed since. So you were the first ones there, without a doubt.
Yeah, but it does come, there's no doubt about it, that the riff music, that was incorporated in rock by us and others, but certainly by us, goes right back to like the 50s in Chicago.
It's sure,
like,
absolutely.
It's like Elvis doing one thing, but all these blues guys doing another thing in Chicago, and that's it. That's where all the real solid riff stuff's coming from,
didn't you?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, a bit of imagination and away you go.
And a lot of power. And I mean, even though in a different way, because you know, Meg White is, Lord knows, no John Bonham.
No.
And wouldn't want to be, I dare say.
Yeah, but
I mean,
it's good stuff, isn't it, the White Stripes?
Right back to the blues, and it's the same kind of attitude that you were doing. All right, then. We have got loads more time because we've got sort of special dispensation today to just throw the show out because we've got Jimmy Page with us, right? From Led Zeppelin. So lots more Zeppelin music and talk with Jimmy later on, okay?
Wake up with the Cocks. Breakfast on Radio 1.
On Monday, I am back, and if I got a treat for you, you know you want it. Picture the scene. You're surrounded by thousands of people. The bright lights are shining. Suddenly, there's a hush. The lights go down. There's silence. Then you hear a voice boom. But it's not a dream. It's Eminem live.
Breakfast.
It's showtime. On Breakfast, Monday from 7, I'll be launching the Radio 1 Eminem ticket giveaway. You could be there live in front of the real Slim Shady at one of his UK gigs, all thanks to Radio 1. You're not bad for me if I stay back, eh?
Introducing the star of our show. His name is
Aisha. It could only be Breakfast Monday morning, back once again with the Cocks.
Aisha.
On Radio 1.
That's Jameson and True.
Radio 1.
All right, we'll be back soon with tunes from Christina Aguilera and Plummet, and also we will have a Led Zepp-influenced Tug O' Peace. It's 1:30 on Radio 1 with the news, Trudy Barber.
Kids want help to wean their parents off drugs.
Radio 1.
Up to 350,000 children are suffering mental and physical problems because either their mum or dad take drugs. A new report found it can traumatise them. Many are abused or neglected and have to fend for themselves. Here's Radio 1's Dr. Mark Hamilton.
Children are actually more likely to go on to use alcohol or drugs themselves, although in some circumstances the child will actually recoil and not want to touch them at all.
Saddam Hussein's cousins arrived in Britain. He's here to try and get permission for the former dictator's daughters to move to the UK. But the Home Office says it's out of the question. In Iraq, another US soldier's been killed in Fallujah and five more wounded in a rocket attack. That's after America sent an extra 1,500 troops there to try and stop attacks on their units. There's fresh warnings about child car seats, which magazine and the AA tested several in crashes above 30 miles an hour. That's faster than any other test at the moment. They found at least three on the high street could be unsafe. Experts say drinking too much water when you're out jogging or in the gym can cause dizziness and breathing problems. You can even die. They say you only need to drink a lot if you're doing a really intense workout. And in the cricket, England are playing Zimbabwe in Durham for the first time. The latest score from the Riverside, England won the toss. They're batting, they're 96 for one. Radio 1 Newsbeat, more at 2:30.
One love, one station.
Radio 1.
Mark and Lard on Radio 1. Hopelessly devoted to you.
That's Plummet with Damage. Down before that, Christina Aguilera and Fighter. Good afternoon. It is 21 minutes to. Lardy Boy, Paul in Colchester has been on.
Oh,
he says, I know you're busy with Led Zeppelin Day today, but can you blow me wife a big kiss and wish her a happy 30th birthday?
Happy birthday.
Right, he says, if you do this, I'll send you half of what I get for it tonight.
Hey, leave it.
Dear Mark and Lark, can I get a stop carry on in the style of David Seaman for Tweezer Man?
Stop. I say carry on.
Fred Elliott. From CFAX Boy. Can I have a mustn't grumble in a Tequan Wittock style for Steve, who's 28 today?
Mustn't grumble.
And also this one here from me, where is it? Please give a biggity-biggity-bong in the style of a sweaty Robert Plant for Michael, who's training to cycle from John O'Groats to Land's End and sings along to Communication Breakdown to get him up and down the hills.
Biggity-biggity-bong!
Replacement there, Jim, if you're putting something back together.
Hey,
yeah,
right, and of course we've got Jimmy Page with us today from Led Zeppelin, and we're talking about the Led Zeppelin DVD that's just come out, plenty of it, and the live album How the West Was Won, of which lots more later. But now...
It's a tug of peace. What with one thing and another, it's a tug of peace.
All right, you've got Rachel Morgan on the line. Morgo!
Hello.
Hello! How are you doing?
I'm fine, thanks.
And where are you?
I'm in South Wales.
Whereabouts?
Abercorn.
What, near Blackwood?
Yes.
Oh, no.
It's great there, isn't it?
I don't know, I've never been.
No, neither have
no,
I.
No, it's just written down, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right, OK. And how old are you, Rachel?
I'm 17.
Right, OK. Then, and what does Led Zeppelin mean to you?
Oh, a lot. I think they're one of the best bands ever.
Right, there you go. When did you first hear them? I mean, was it? Where did you get the records from? Or have you just
I got into them around 18 months ago, just through accident.
Did you?
Yeah.
And what's your favourite Led Zepp song?
Dazed and Confused.
Ah, good choice.
Fantastic.
There you go. That's on the How the West Was Won. It's only a short version, though, Rachel, on the album. It's only coming in at 25 minutes.
Oh,
but it's shorter on the DVD.
You have to play it twice.
And what are you doing in Abercorn near Blackwood, Rachel?
Oh, I'm revising.
Are you?
Yeah.
All right, where are you? 17, what's that, AS level?
Yeah.
All right, so what are you doing?
Physics, chemistry, maths and English literature.
Oh, brain box.
Were you good at school, Jimmy? What were you good at?
Well, actually, I've got to be honest with you that I was actually better than what I thought I was going to be, because I took the GCEs and I got more than I expected because I've been playing the guitar all the time.
Right.
In fact, I used to take it to school and it used to get confiscated and given to me at the end of the day because I used to want to play it in the breaks and lunchtime and everything.
GCEs, yeah.
It was like another limb.
But GCEs was what? Was there O-levels and GCEs?
Yeah, O-levels.
And if they didn't think you could make the grade at O-level, you did GCEs?
No, that's what it was. It was like GCSE, whatever it is now.
GCSE, O-level.
O-level, and then, you know, if you stayed on, you'd do A's, but I actually joined a band then.
Right, OK. Yeah, well, there you go, and the rest is history. So what else are you up to, Rachel? Anything we need to know about?
I'm doing a skydive for charity in the autumn with a friend.
Oh, yeah? Good on you. What charity is that for?
Children in Need.
Good on you. All right, then. Well, best of luck with that. We'll sponsor you nearer the time.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, all right, indeed.
And, yeah, well done.
Okay, and we got Mark Robinson on the line as well. Robbo.
Hello there.
How are you, pal?
I'm all right, mate. How are you?
Very good indeed. Good. We're having a fine day. And where are you?
I'm in Irby on the Wirral.
Oh, Irby on the Wirral. Oh, yeah.
Oh, Irby. It's better than Irby off the Wirral, isn't it?
Well, there you go.
Definitely. Right.
And what are you doing there?
I'm on holiday at the moment.
Are you on holiday from what?
I'm a fireman.
Oh, are you? Have you settled your pay claim yet?
Not yet.
Well, you want to help? We want to do London's Not Burning again.
We're waiting for you to get
Come on.
And you're Led Zeppelin? Are you a big Led Zeppelin fan?
I am indeed, yeah. Are I've been for quite a while now.
Did you ever see it? Oh, no, you're too young.
No, I'm too young. I went to see Page and Plant when they did the Unleaded tour. In Sheffield. That was a good day.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, oh, superb. Absolutely brilliant.
That's not the only rocking gig you've seen recently, I believe.
No, I came to see you a couple of weeks ago on the Pacific.
At the Pacific Road Arts Centre in Birkenhead.
The one, yeah.
Oh, yes. Well,
that's out on DVD soon as well. Is it?
I was going to say, that must put Zeppelin into the shade and Page and Plant.
Stroke of Thunder.
One of our sets comes in under the time running of Dazed and Confused. I would think we can get 10 in where, you know, we're better value for money than you, Jim, because we get 10 in, you've only done one, honestly. who do you support then if you live on the Wirral?
Tommy Rovers. For me sins.
Oh, well, okay. Well, it's not so bad, is it? It's gone all right.
Oh, we're doing all right now.
Not too bad. Do you support a football team, Jimmy? You're not bothered?
No, I don't know.
Not bothered?
Not my sort of thing, really, no.
That's all right, fair enough.
No. I ought to. People are going to go, what? Why don't he like
football? No, that's all
right. Why don't you adopt Man City now on air? Say you support Manchester City.
Manchester City.
See, that's
done. No. I was just thinking Manchester United. You know, you'd have a tug of beast. Wait a minute, with football. Heaven's sake. No,
we'll have to talk. Yeah. Work in progress.
Yeah, really.
All right. Okay. Well, we'll have a tune, and then we'll get on with our Led Zepp quiz. And we know the answer's going to be right because we've got the authority here to confirm it all. All right then. So we'll have our record of the week from the Flaming Lips, and then we'll get on with this. We'll Record of the week from the Flaming Lips. That is Fight Test, and we must. You're quite right, because we're talking about football. We must congratulate Robert Plant for Wolves getting up, because he couldn't attend the American launch of the DVD because he was at the playoffs.
Well, actually, he did. That's right. We'd just been over there doing press and build up to this launch of the DVD, and there was a showing of it, and of course he couldn't come because of the playoffs. So he actually arrived the day of the showing, and by the time we'd done all the sort of, like, you know, photo calls and the showing and then the after show thing, he was sort of walking around on automatic pilot with his lids held open with matchsticks almost, because he was on serious jet lag, you know.
Happy but knackered, probably.
Yeah, and very, very happy.
And you had to explain indeed that he'd been for his football team, Wolves. And when you said his football team...
Oh, to these guys in America, I said, well, he's delayed because he can't come. And they... and I said he's watching his team, Wolverhampton Wanderers, and it's really crucial that the playoffs and that. And they said, oh, is that his team? And I said, yeah, he supported them for all his life, and he's probably his dad did too. And they said, yeah, but is it his team? And I said, what do you mean? They said, well, does he own it? I said, well, I don't know. I think he has a bit of trouble forking out for a program on the television.
American rock stars would own the team, you see. Oh, yeah, that's the difference. All right.
It's a tug of peace. What with one thing and another, it's a tug of peace.
All right, got Rachel Morgan in Abercorn near Blackwood in Gwent.
Hello.
Hello. Can you nip out to the left-hand side, please, Rachel, because you're going to be today's one thing.
Yep.
All right, you over there?
Yep.
And we got Mark Robinson, who's a fireman off the Wirral, who's today's another.
Hello there.
Hello. Hello. Can you nip to the right, please? You're today's another. We're having a tug of peace between, like, 17-year-old Rachel Morgan, AS student, and a burly fireman from the Wirral.
It's not right, is it?
It doesn't seem entirely fair, does it?
Have you got any mates with you, Rachel?
No, I'm on my
own. Oh, you're mob-handed, man.
And all the questions are about Led Zepp today. Is it Led Zepp prizes? We're signed Led Zepp DVDs and CDs and everything. But anyway, we'll sort all that out. Okay, then. Signed by me and him, not Jimmy.
Yeah.
He's not brought his pen right. Okay, then. Here we go. Take the strain, please, and heave.
Game on!
All right, then. Crown Prince of the world's greatest ever rock band, Sir Jimmy of Page, was also big in the 60s before starting Led Zepp, having played guitar for the Yardbirds, banjo for Jimmy Tarbuck, right, Jim? Yeah. Composed the signature tune to Andy Pandy and appeared as the first Stan Ogden in Coronation Street before passing the part on to Bernard Ewins. That's right, isn't it?
I did play guitar with Benny Hill too.
Well,
that you didn't know, but that's true.
All right, then. But in which year was the debut album Led Zepp 1 released? Oh, another was straight in.
1969.
Yeah.
Conclusive proof.
Robert Plant, or Lord Bob of Stourbridge, as he's better known, owes his high rank to James Algernon Gimlet Page, the 14th Duke of Marlborough Light, who plucked Bob from his humble origins in the Black Country, where he was living in Jim Davidson's paraffin heater in Sutton Coldfield. An impoverished Bob had just managed to scrape together enough cash to buy some second-hand hedge clippers in order to work as Noddy Holder's sideburn roadie when Jim swept him to stardom.
It's all true.
It's all true.
It's all true.
It's all there.
It's
right.
It's true. Not denying it.
But what was the name of the band that Bob and John Bonham... Oh.
Band of Joy.
Oh.
That was quick, wasn't it?
That was very quick.
I've got to say, the band that I saw him with when he was playing was called Hobbs Tweedle.
Hobbs Tweedle.
Hobbs Tweedle. Yeah. I don't know Hobbs Tweedle.
All right. Excellent. Well,
he's definitely right with the Band of Joy there.
Band of Joy. Yeah, right. Oh, he's good, isn't he, Rachel?
Yeah.
Oh, blimey. I don't know. Right, here we go then. World's greatest rock band ever, Led Zepp, were noted for their wild excesses. On one occasion, after a nearly sell-out concert at Prestatyn Boilermakers Club, John Bonham famously tipped a Tupperware bowl of hula hoops into John Paul Jones's vanity case. Whilst wild man of rock, Archduke James Page blew his nose on Bob Plant's scented monogrammed hanky. Get this, even though his nasal caves were snot-free, leaving a flu-ridden Bob absolutely livid.
Sure.
Ridiculous, isn't it?
Disgraceful.
But how long does the excellent new DVD of Led Zepp, available at the lunatic price of too cheap,
lost
run
leader.
For? Well, must be
a
that
lost
price.
Leader.
Is it 4 hours and 10 minutes long? Is it 4 hours and 40 minutes long? Is it 4 hours and 55 minutes long? Or 5 hours and 20 minutes long?
One thing.
Yes, one thing.
Is it 4 hours, 10 minutes?
It's not 4 hours, 10.
No.
It's longer than that. Have another go. It's much longer than that. Have another go.
The last one, 5 hours.
Is the right
answer.
Well
knows
done.
Stuff, she knows her stuff.
She knows her stuff. 5 hours 20. 4:45 of it is dazed and confused.
That's right.
American rap star Puff Daddy is a big Led Zepp fan, and in fact in the early days modelled himself on John Paul Jones by wearing trademark lederhosen and spats and wearing his hair in a John Paul-like cottage loaf style.
Oh, bless him.
John Paul, incidentally, was big in the 60s just like Jimmy and had several solo hits under the pseudonym Dusty Springfield. But what was the title of the Jimmy Page Puff Daddy collaboration that drew heavily on Kashmir? Was it Go With Me, Stay With Me, Live With Me, or Come With Me?
Another.
Yeah.
Come With Me.
Is the right answer.
Oh, come on, Rachel. Right.
Rachel, do you know what, just for a bonus point, do you know what film it was from, Rachel, about a big lizard that frightened you?
Godzilla.
Yes!
Oh, yay! She knows her stuff.
She's good, isn't she? Right. And for another bonus point, what's John Paul Jones's real name? John Paul Jones, John Paul Smith, John Baldwin.
John Paul Smith.
Yeah, no.
Hold on.
Hold on, Vinny. John Paul Jones, John Paul Smith, John Baldwin, or Paul Johnson.
John Baldwin.
Hey, she knows her stuff.
It's an even contest, isn't it? All right, then. Being drop-dead gorgeous, hunky dreamboat pin-ups, though I'm not gay around, Led Zepp have had their fair share of women, and legend has it treated them in somewhat cavalier fashion. Love god James, the 13th Baron Page, is believed to have slept with upwards of 2 women,
sure,
though possibly downwards of 4, and once left a lady friend without leaving even so much as a box of milk tray on the dressing table. Probably apocryphal, yes, that one, Jimmy, isn't it? Yeah, I'll let you off there. But what make of drums did John Bonham play? Was it Premier, Ludwig, Gretsch, or Chad Valley?
Ludwig.
Is the right answer, isn't it? Yes, okay then. Right, what in the charts influenced by Led Zeppelin? End of a quiz.
Well, by my reckoning, Lefty One Thing Morgo has 3, though she did very well.
Very well.
Whereas Right Another Robinso has 4.
Very good.
Well, can we send Rachel the consolation prize? Mate?
Definitely.
Yeah, great.
Definitely. So, what's the prizes? Oh, right, OK, then. Well, fair enough. It's all sorted out in the other room. But, Robbo, I think you just about deserved your victory.
Mystery prizes,
then. Right. Not much mystery. It's all Led Zepp stuff.
And I think that Rachel will probably get as good a prize as Robbo, to be honest.
Miss the prize.
You know, we'll see.
Yeah, all right, then. Rachel, lovely talking to you.
And you too.
All right, good luck.
Bye, Rachel. Hello to all my friends, including Lori, Hannah and Natasha.
Of course you can, yeah. Good luck
can
with
I
the exams.
Can you have Jimmy Page's autograph, please?
Can you have Jimmy Page's autograph? I think you'll be getting that. Yep. Okay, then.
Okay, bye, Rachel.
See you, Rachel.
Thank you, bye.
Bye-bye.
And we got Mark Robinson as well. And thanks for coming on, pal.
Thank you, really kind. Can I have a get back to work for Kevin, Graham and Com, please?
Get back to work!
Thank you.
The job's done. Nice talking to you.
Cheers,
Mark. See you, Mark.
Bye-bye.
It's a dog of peace. What with one thing and another, it's a dog of peace.
Radio 1. Radio 1 on the road is back. From tomorrow, it's your chance to come and meet Radio 1 as we set up home in Leeds.
Radio 1 on the road.
We'll be broadcasting live all weekend with myself, Chris Moyles, Colin and Edith, Bobby Friction and Nihal, Trevor Nelson and the Sunday Surgery, including special guests and performances. One Music and One Life will be there to talk life, love and music making. Get your demo heard by our experts or get free advice on your money and career. For all the details, visit bbc.co.uk/radio1 and click on events. Or call the live events info line on 08700 100 100. Radio 1 on the road, live from Leeds. From tomorrow, it's your chance to get involved with Radio 1.
But nothing compares to this blue and yellow, purple.
Radio 1, baby.
Just turn it up and turn it on.
Jennifer Lopez and Play. Before that, the White Stripes and... excuse me, Seven Nation Army, and before that, I can't remember, it's a while ago now.
D12,
wasn't it? And Purple Hills, right here. And Jack White, you like the White Stripes stuff, don't you, Jim?
Yeah, I really do.
You know, he's a great guitarist, that guy.
Yeah, I went to see Jeff Beck at the Royal Festival Hall.
Yeah, right.
And he had various guests. He had John McLaughlin, and he had the White Stripes on. I'd heard a lot about the White Stripes, but I hadn't. I hadn't seen them play naturally, but I did there, and they were doing Yardbird stuff with him, and like Jeff Beck is so precise, there's all this precision, and suddenly this real raw energy came on, coming in from a totally different area altogether. But it was fantastic. It's really great that there's bands like that out there doing that. And,
I mean, Claire
and making a difference.
Well, I know. It shook it up, the White Stripes, doesn't it? And I think also, you know, the good thing is kids like hear that and hear talk about the blues, and then that starts them tracking back through records, doesn't it, to discover a whole world of music is out there. Claire, working hard in London Village, says, I would love to know who are Jimmy's favourite guitar players. Who are the guitar players you admire?
Well, I've got many, many guitarists. You know, it's just like listening to album. For example, you know, different artists as well. If you listen to them, there's certain parts of like an album or whatever CD that you really like, and other parts that you're not so. You know,
give us some names of people who you like, who's a player you admire, or haircuts or suits.
Okay. I said Jeff Beck. I really admire his playing. I mean, Hendrix, obviously, we'll say Jack White for the moment. Django Reinhardt.
You never saw Jimi Hendrix play, did you?
I didn't know. No. It was one of those things that I was working with the Yardbirds and that, and I'd come back off of tours and be pretty tired, and they'd say, oh, Hendrix is playing at the Albert Hall. Or he'd be away, you know, he'd play at the Albert Hall, or he'd play at this place, the Savile. And I go, I'll see him next time, Or he'd be abroad, you know, he'd be in the States touring, and I think, oh, I'll see him next time, man. Then there wasn't another time.
There's that story in there about Eric Clapton was supposed to have wept. He turned up at the speakeasy and played, and Eric Clapton was sat at the back crying because he'd just seen Jimi Hendrix land and he didn't know where he was coming from, and he was so awesome. Probably not a true story.
There you go. Anyway, we're talking about Led Zeppelin today and the new DVD and the new live album, How the West Was Won, which are out now. Get them while stocks last, because in America, it completely sold out.
Yeah, it did. it did, and it was amazing. Yeah, I think, you know, both the DVD and the CDs, I think it caught the record company in America by surprise. I think they underestimated the depth of the fan base.
Yeah,
because it just went. They had trouble restocking.
You know? Well, I'm sure it's the same. Stuff, let's talk about the DVD, which we talked a bit about. You know, the first DVD live at the Royal Albert Hall in 1970, and we talked, you know, about you, and you were wearing a tank top. You had very long hair down over your face, as almost as if you didn't want your face to be seen so much. Now, by the time we get to 1973, Madison Square Garden, here's a man transformed, you know, in a glittery suit. I mean, the confidence, the music was always there, but the confidence of the band to become kind of personalities and stars is the only word for it. It's an amazing transformation.
I think you've caught the essence of it there, because in 1970, you can see that we're really concentrating on every aspect and every nuance, you know, because there is like this musical ESP, but we're all checking it all out all the time. And, of course, then we're going to go to 1973. Of course, there's a transitional stage as we're building. But by the time, whenever we played in America, the audiences there were really raucous, even though it doesn't look so much on the DVD. But believe me, at the time, that was a raucous audience.
Yeah.
And they really used to bring a lot out of you. And, yeah, we're playing with so much confidence there. It's really, it's gone beyond the intellect into the physical now. It's just really like an assault.
You know you're the best band in the world on that, and you can see it.
Oh, we were confident that we were, yeah.
I mean, it must have been amazing. I mean, did he keep any of the suits, those sparkly suits with, like, the sun and the moons on them and things?
Yeah.
Have you still got those? Have you got them hanging up at home?
Well, yeah.
Oh, that's six ways.
Hidden away. No. It's about 26 ways.
I don't want it
on the dragon suit. No, I wouldn't. Probably fit around my leg. No, it wouldn't fit now.
Oh, no, but great. And I mean, the other thing is, like, you know, just watching the band play live and the sheer power of it. And John Bonham, I mean, we should mention in the Q reviews, you know, which is 5 stars for the DVD and 5 stars for the album. I mean, it quite simply was the greatest rock drummer that ever lived, wasn't he?
There's no doubt about it.
Every
drummer would say that. You know, one of the other things is that when they ask, like, you know, musicians, like, who would you like to play with and all that, apparently there's so many drummers, they were saying this to me in America just recently, that, you know, the drummers would say, actually, I just would like to have been in the same room watching John Bonham play.
Yeah.
Without doubt, he was the greatest drummer, you know, in rock and roll. There's no doubt about it. Every drummer would say that.
Yeah.
And quite rightly so. But I take it right out of the category of just rock. You know, he's right up there with a handful of greatest drummers that ever lived. Because of his imagination, his technique. And that's what you can witness, you see. You know, you think of, like, immediately go Led Zeppelin, heavy metal, and you think of drummers, like, giving these, like, overhead smashes to the snare. And you just watch him, and it's just...
It's
his technique. Yeah, and it's just his wrists. And believe me, he could put out some volume on the drums.
Well, I mean...
Because he knew how to tune them so he could get all the level out.
Well, the sound of them was great because it's almost like the sound of the drums, almost those more sort of like Gene Krupa. It's almost a ringing jazz sort of sound half the time, isn't it? Yeah. But the weight in it and the power is unbelievable.
His technique was
We were watching that DVD last night, weren't we? And he'd do these things every now and then and we'd just look at each other and go, nah.
No, it's not possible.
It's such a joy to watch him.
It is a joy. It's a joy to watch all of you. Another interesting thing about the band is, like, quite often, the acoustic stuff's a bit different, which we'll talk about later, but a lot of bands kind of are intent on showing the bonhomie, the camaraderie, by, like, arms around each other's necks and everything. Watching Led Zepp, you're all working very much in your own space, concentrating on what you're doing for a lot of the time, aren't you? You know, there was not that much eye contact, in a way.
Well, there sort of was earlier on, but after a while, I've got to say that the most incredible thing about Led Zeppelin is that the four members were so totally different as people.
Yeah.
They really were, you know, the way that the things that made them tick, you know, off stage, but or out of a rehearsal room or whatever. But given the situation where the four of us were, you know, be there making music, it was just incredible the way that it would bond together and the way that you could just sort of shoot off on a tangent anywhere and everyone would be right on it.
Yeah.
You know, immediately. It wasn't even, sometimes it didn't even need seconds to catch up. It was just eerie, really.
It was fantastic.
Yeah.
And watching that, we talked to Robert when he came in. There's the famous quote when the film Almost Famous. Have you seen the film Almost Famous?
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
When the singer stands on the roof or up the tree and says, "I am a golden god," which is supposed to be in what Robert said. And he wonders whether he said it or not, but he's not sure. But watching that, you can see why he might have said it. I mean, was there a moment, can you remember a moment where you just thought, my God, all our wildest dreams have come true, we really have arrived, we really are the best rock and roll band in the world?
Yeah, there were lots of points along the way. I mean, for me, to be honest with you, when we got the first gold disc, for me, that was unbelievable, because it was like... the dream had become reality, you know.
Yeah.
But there were so many points along the way. Like, every time we went to America, there was more people to see us each time that we went. And we couldn't supply the demand for the amount of people that were coming along. And even here, the last concert at Nebworth, you know, there's like hundreds of thousands of people that came to see us, you know. And that sort of, the fan base just kept growing and growing and growing, and the amount of people that wanted to see us.
Fantastic. And the other thing watching the DVD that strikes you about a difference between a concert then and a concert now, there's loads of people milling about on stage, just behind the drums and the amps. There's loads of people there. Is that just overflow audience, or just liggers and hangers-on, or friends of the band, or did you not care who was on?
I think it was a bit of liggers and hangers-on and a bit of roadies here. You know, it's all a bit nonchalant, you know. But as the set progressed, I think there was a general sort of, we got to be on the edge of the stage sort of thing that went on. You know, people wanted to get as close to it as possible, you know.
Oh, God, that would have looked something. Really. Anyway, so more music. This, again, not from the DVD, but this is another one from How the West Was Won, the new triple live CD that's out as well. And this is Black Dog.
Not one proper ending, but five.
Sounds
spoiling them.
It does. It's Led Zepp live with Black Dog. And, I mean, we were talking about John Bonham, and you know, could the band ever have continued once he'd gone? I mean, did you think about it?
Well, you've got to understand, you know, we were talking about that musical communication that was pretty much there right from, believe it or not, from the very first time that we played, the very first rehearsal. And that just grew and grew and built over... the 11 years, you know, and to the point where we really knew each other inside out musically, you know. And the fact is, you know, when we lost John, people came to us, I mean, they certainly came to me, and they were saying, with the best will in the world, not for commercial reasons, you know, what about this drummer, what about that drummer? And the thing is, what could you have done? Could you have said, right, for example, play some of the stuff from whatever we played on a live tour and say, look, can you learn that? We improvised it on the night, and it just came out of thin air that night, but could you learn it? And we'll do it the same every night.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't... at that time when we lost John, it was just inconceivable. To be honest with you, if we'd have lost any of the other members, even if it had been me, I think the same decision obviously would have been made.
And what about now? Because people are always going to ask, is there going to be a reunion tour?
Yeah, I know.
Is Dave Grohl going to do it? Is Jason Bonham going to do it? Will it ever happen?
Well, look, the astonishing thing is that, you know, I was in the studio putting all this stuff together, and then we all got together and we were coordinating on the artwork, and then we've been doing press and just come back from New York. And you know what? I'll put my hand on my heart, and you can see this, that we haven't... The members have never discussed it, the ex-members of the band. And what... Knowing what made the music tick over in the first place and why it was so vital all the way through and it had so much energy to it was the spirit that was behind it. So the only way that I could see that we could even start thinking about it would be, first of all, to discuss it. That would be... but to discuss getting in a room together with the instruments and see, you know, if we can look each other in the eye and then play a couple of the numbers and then look each other in the eye and see, like, a smile behind the eyes, and at least, you know, that then I could understand, like, a cornerstone or whatever to start from. But, you know, it hasn't happened yet.
So what would you do if it was to happen? And I'm not pinning you down.
But I'll tell you something, if we did that, we couldn't have all the paparazzi or the office calling up to see how it went, could it? You know, so, you know, it's something which everyone would like to see, but, you know, it'd have to be done in the right spirit.
I mean, do you
think... it ever would...
If it ever would happen,
I don't
then,
even know where it would, to be honest with you.
Would you think the first thing you would do would be sit down, the three surviving members, and play some acoustic together to see if there was still that kind of thing going on between the three of you before brought them?
Yeah.
It'd be pretty daunting for any drummer to come in.
Yeah, well, you know, there's...
We've got three microphones, if you're interested. It's just, you know, it's just a genuine offer for you and the lads to come in and reform.
Oh, yeah, if you want to
play.
Well,
there you go.
So
yeah,
it's
a nice open offer
It's not... The thing that people will be happy about is it's not a definite... Never.
No,
it's not a witch's lane.
No, and I'm not being evasive.
No, I know.
What I'm saying is, you know, that's about how it could be if it was to be. But isn't it odd that no one's discussed it? I mean, I think maybe everyone's avoiding that issue amongst themselves. So,
right,
there you go.
Okay, then. Right. Well. All right. So we got more from Jimmy Page in the last half hour. It's Led Zepp Day on Radio 1.
Your TV could now have 8 BBC channels, including
BBC One,
BBC Two,
CBBS,
BBC Four,
News 24,
the BBC Channel.
And you could be watching BBC Three with the world's first celebrity stock market, CelebDAX.
You buy a bit of Beckham, you make a mint out of Madonna.
Great bands and great covers in Recovered.
There's no lip syncing, there's no backing track, it's all L-I-V-E.
Plus digital radio.
One extra.
Street music.
You can get all these channels on cable and satellite, and now on Freeview. To find out more, call 08700 101010.
Marshall, sounds like an SOS. Thank you for coming. Your host for the evening,
Marshall.
Oh! That is Eminem and Business. Right, now then, in the last half hour of the programme, we will be talking loads more to Jimmy Page. I've got 1,001 questions that are coming in here, which I will do me level best to get in. It's just I've got 1,001 questions I've been waiting since I was a teenager to ask myself.
Absolutely.
So therein lies the problem. But we got loads more with Jimmy Page in the last half hour of the programme.
Radio 1.
All right, then. Coming up initially, we will have some tunes from Ruby De Silva and R. Kelly.
Mm.
Which is not the best possible start, but, you know,
Led Zeppelin after
things
that.
Will pick up after that, you can rest assured. It's 2:30 on Radio 1 with the news, Georgina Bowman.
Warnings of the effects of drugs on the kids of users.
Radio 1.
More than 250,000 children in the UK have got mental or physical problems because either their mum or dad takes drugs. And new reports found it can traumatise them and many are abused or left to look after themselves. Nicola Dedlock's a drugs worker in Sheffield.
Well, they may be isolated within their school. They may have problems making friends. They may have problems talking to other children because they're frightened that their home situation is so different from other people.
If you want advice or help, have a look at Radio 1 online and click on One Life.
Radio 1 Newsbeat.
Saddam's family are trying to get permission for two of the former dictator's daughters to move to Britain, but the Home Office says they've got no chance. In Iraq, another American soldier's been killed and 5 more hurt in a rocket attack. It was only yesterday that 1,500 extra troops were sent to Fallujah to try and stop ambushes there. But President Bush told units in the Gulf things are getting better.
Because of you, a great evil has been ended.
Because of you, the dignity of a great nation is being restored. There's still pockets of criminality. Because of you, those of us who love freedom are now more secure.
An explosion on a bus in southern Russia has killed at least 15 people. It's thought it was strapped to a suicide bomber. People who work out are being told not to drink too much water. It's the opposite to what we all thought, but doctors reckon it could make you dizzy or even give you breathing problems. 24-year-old Katya was out for a jog this lunchtime.
I usually drink at least 3 glasses before I go out for a run, and at least the glass or 2 when I come back. I think as more and more labs do more and more research, things keep changing.
If you own your own home, there'll be no change to your mortgage this month. The interest rates have stuck at the same rate. It's now an hour into the afternoon's play at the North East's first ever test match. England beat Zimbabwe in the first leg last month at Lord's. This time around, they're 132-2. Radio 1 News Beat, more at 3:30.
One love, one station.
The UK's official number one.
One chart, one station.
Radio 1.
Now I'm not trying to be rude.
Radio 1.
Mark Radcliffe. He's so now.
You'll always be my baby.
That's Rui De Silva and Touch Me, and before that it was R. Kelly. All right then, it is 20, which I think R. Kelly is the name of an ice cream manufacturer in Cornwall. Yeah, mm. The ice cream's a lot more preferable to his record.
Oh, what?
Anyway, right, it's 22 minutes to
3
on Radio 1, and Jimmy Page from Led Zeppelin is with us today to talk about lots of things, the life and times of Led Zepp, which is all captured beautifully on a new 2-DVD set, 5 hours of previously unreleased footage, and also a triple CD live album, How the West Was Won. There's a lot talked about the mystique of Led Zeppelin. I mean, did you in some ways try and create it? Because you didn't really do a lot of interviews, and you didn't release singles, and you very rarely, I think, was it only once you agreed to mime to something? You were just a live...
Actually, we didn't agree. No, what happened is it's in that DVD in the menu. And we went to Sweden because we always wanted to play live. And that's one of the reasons why we didn't put out singles, because you'd have to mime on TV, you see, in those days. And we went to Sweden and we had all the equipment over there, and they said, oh, we haven't got a sound engineer. Quite clearly, they wanted us to mime, so we're just mucking about on the mime.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. You didn't take it too seriously. No, absolutely.
But what about not doing interviews? Because, I mean, you know,
one of the things is, yeah, we didn't. But
you probably still wish you didn't.
The thing is, you could do. It sounds crazy now, but you could do all the interviews in a day.
Yeah.
Of what there was to do in those days, or what they wanted you to do, or what you know, like the likes of the Times and that wouldn't touch anything like rock, really.
Right.
And so bit by bit, we were getting a lot of bad reviews on each album as they came out. I think the reality of it was either A, fashionable to knock us, or B, they really couldn't work out if they were on a quick deadline to review an album, and they'd get it and have to write up a review of it quick, and they couldn't relate it from the album that preceded it because it was all so different.
Mm.
That bit by bit we were getting, like, slagged off in the press for the albums and the concerts, and after a while, we can't be bothered with it. What's the point of dealing with the press if they're just knocking it all, you know?
Right.
And the most important thing was, it was just like, let the albums go out, and let's be measured up on the albums and the live performances.
Peter Grant was an amazing manager, wasn't he?
He was a really good manager,
I mean, is it right also that you spent a long time on the record, but you didn't spend a mammoth amount of time, like with your solos and things, if you didn't get it in 3 goes, you said, oh, well, forget it, we'll do something else.
Yeah, that, and also if we were doing like the backing tracks, if it didn't gel and groove, and if it wasn't sort of happening or to our satisfaction in that, the best thing to do was not to keep labouring it because you just get tired on it, to stop it and do another number.
Right.
So it was always fresh all
so
the
always
time.
So always captured the performance.
Yeah, it was the same thing with the guitar overdose. Couldn't stay there all night trying to do a solo or anything.
I mean, lots talked about, like, the sound, which is you know, to the most down to you, because you produce the records, you know, on the drum sound on Physical Graffiti. Is it right that you were in a big house and you put microphones right up the stairwells and everything, and, you know...
Well, I'll tell you what happened around. There was we were in a house in Hampshire with a mobile truck, and we were recording in the sort of living room, and there was the drums in there, and for example, we might have been doing, say, rock and roll, And this other drum kit appeared in the hallway, okay, and it was being set up by Bonzo's roadie. And the hallway was one which like, two or three stories going up with the stairs going up round the edge of it. It made, like, a big stairwell, you know.
Mm.
And it was all wooden and a tiled floor. And Bonzo went out to play the drums in this hall, and it was like, whoom, it was immense. And so it was like, yeah, there was, like, basically a couple of mics, stereo mics up there on the second floor,
right,
peeking over, and that was it. The drums on Levy Breaks are just his natural balance,
and it's been sampled ever since, all over the place. But I mean, Led Zeppelin was very ambitious musically from the beginning, because looking at the DVDs, one of the things I enjoyed a lot, which is like what people don't talk about a lot, is some of the acoustic stuff. Like Going to California is fantastic on there. Mm. I mean, you always kind of, that was quite brave when people were going to see a big rock band, and you and John Paul Jones and Robert would sit close at the front and play a little acoustic set,
yeah,
or a bit, quite a long acoustic,
yeah,
set.
And Bonzo would come along and do a bit, yeah, as well on the tambourine. But you know what happened? You see, there's quite a lot of, there's a lot of acoustic on the first album,
mm,
and there was acoustic on the second album, but even more of a focus on the third album. And the thing was that we were, these sort of acoustic numbers were accruing along the way, so within a set, you couldn't suddenly pick up an acoustic guitar. You could try it on the electric, like we used to do Baby, I'm Gonna Leave You, for example, on electric. But you couldn't suddenly pick up an acoustic and then go back to the electric. So this sort of set started to grow in the middle, you know, the acoustic set. Plus, it gave us a chance to sit down, to be honest.
This is not a bad thing. Now, listen, we ummed and ahed about what we were going to play, and we are going to play Stairway to Heaven. Now, right. I know that there is a rumour, and I don't think we asked Robert this when he came in, that he refuses to perform it, that he just will have nothing to do with it, because I do, that he didn't like the lyrics anymore, which seems a bit strange.
Yeah, it's interesting, that, isn't it? You know, because the thing is that when it was written at the same place we're talking about, where the drums got set up in the hall at Headley Grange, I had all these bits and I was routining it with John Paul Jones and John Bonham, and Robert was sitting down by the wall, and it took quite a while to get this together, the routine of this stairway, you know, because it was going to speed up and all the rest of it. We all know it now very well. But Robert sort of after a while suddenly got to the microphone and he started singing along, and you know, he must have had 80% of the lyrics there and then written during these sort of this rehearsal, and well, it's just amazing how inspired he was at that time, and you know, looking back for him, he says, well, you know, he can't relate to the lyrics now, but you know, why didn't he just rewrite it? I mean, Bob Dylan rewrites his stuff all the time. Yeah, it's a major piece of work on his behalf, you know, so
absolutely.
I'm just surprised.
It's one of the most celebrated
choice,
and castigated songs ever, isn't it? I mean,
but,
you know, it's
yeah,
it's an
but it's his
moment.
Choice, you know, it's what he wants to do.
Didn't Dolly Parton do a version of it?
She certainly did.
Ron Forrest did.
Yeah.
Did you like
that? She rewrote some of the lyrics on that, and he okayed that. So
oh, did he?
Maybe you should sing Dolly's version.
Get Dolly to rewrite it.
Or perhaps you could put Robert on the drums and get Dolly up front. They've got the same hair as Robert in his hair.
I'll give you that.
Okay. But I thought it was fascinating to hear it perform live. Even though, because it's one of those songs that everybody does know every note and every beat of, so to hear a slightly different version live and everything. And John Paul Jones at times was, you know, the quiet one, which there is in every classic four-piece, isn't it? But,
yeah.
I mean, he was a one-man orchestra at times.
Oh,
it
was fantastic, John. Yeah.
All right. So here we go. This is Led Zeppelin doing Stairway to Heaven live. It's all right.
It's all right.
Blind in the live version, Led Zeppelin, Stairway to Heaven, from the album How the West Was Won, which is the moment at number one in America. It's the first time, because when it came out originally on the album, it only got to number two.
Did it really?
That's what I've just been told.
Oh, yes.
It'd be interesting to know what number one was, wasn't it? Listen, we have got to go. I can just run these, some quick answers to these, just questions that have come in. This is from Mandeep in Leamington, revising biology. Says, do you have a favourite Zepp album?
I can't know. They're all favourites. All recorded under different circumstances. They've got special memories, really.
Fair enough. Gav has been on, said about the four symbols, your symbol, Zoso. What was that about then?
Well, I'm going to tell you very quickly that the fourth album, we just heard Stairway, and that was on it. We'd had so much flack from the press up to that point that we're really keen to put out an album with nothing written on it whatsoever. Like, if you like it, then buy it.
Yeah.
And if you don't, leave it. You know, it went to number two, so they didn't all like it. But the thing is that originally we were going to have one symbol on it, but it seemed that no, we wouldn't have been able to sort out what it was going to be, so we all had our own symbols. So I have my own, which is the one that you just said.
Yeah, right. But what was the significance of it? Or is that lost somewhere?
Well, no, it's not lost, but it was just... No, I just designed it myself.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
So no particular significance, just like that?
No, Robert had the feather, and yeah. John Paul Jones is like the one that's like goodness. The Ballantine beer. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
You know...
Yeah, no, okay then, fair enough. And just a couple of things that have come in here, because just to show that the appeal of Zeppelin is ever-present, it said, Ben's been on, he says, I love Zepp, I'm 20 and have been listening to them since I was 9 years old and got thrown out of chemistry for writing Zepp on the workbench.
Good work, fellow.
I think we've all been there. And also, I think we should have a special word to John Rees, who the big Zepp fan, he says, never before have I heard that version of the Immigrant Song. I was rocking, said, unfortunately, I was decorating at home and spilt the paint on the new carpet.
Oh,
so, you know...
Is there a bill coming?
That is Jimmy's fault. yeah. But listen, it's been great meeting you. It's been fantastic.
Really
it's
fantastic.
Been really good.
Cheers.
The album's great, the DVD's good, and of course the extra poignancy of it is that the Nebworth, at the end of that, turned out to be the last shows, didn't they?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Does
yeah.
give you an extra frisson, should such be needed. But brilliant, you know, so thanks very much. Great to see you.
Many thanks, yeah, cheers.
Jimmy Page from Led Zeppelin. These are Divine Inspiration, and Chris Miles is next.
Radio 1, baby. It's Thursday. It's 3 o'clock. Now, live from London, Chris Moyles.
Hi, everybody. This is Huey Lewis. And if you're looking for the harder rock and roll in England, you found it. The Chris Moyles Show, right here on Radio 1.